Welcome to the Better It Gets podcast, a space where we hold the prayer and belief that the better it gets, the better it gets. May these episodes serve as expanders and reminders of just how powerful you are and just how benevolent this universe is. I'm your host, Zoe Dane, feminine energy mentor and devotional union guide. Thank you for being here and believing in the magic that's available to you, and that is you. Now let's dive in. Hello and welcome to today's episode. I have Keenan White here. He is an integral embodiment and prosperity coach and conscious business mentor. Hi, Keenan.
Hey, Zoe. Nice to be on here with you. Thanks for bringing me on.
Yeah. So I would love for you to just share, you know, where this all started for you, where you started to kind of awaken to this, you know, next octave of yourself and like the path that's brought you to being able to lead from your masculine, from your integrated masculine in business and relationship, and what's brought you to be the coach that you are now.
Oh, there's so many starting points with all this. I mean, I think one of the things that I'm grateful for today is that I had this kind of like blank slate in terms of the masculine in my life. Initially, you know, there was a little bit of like wounding and victim and like, you know, this story initially around my father not being there in some ways. And, you know, one of my grandfathers died before I was born. The other one was a little bit of a ghost of himself. He was a mechanical engineer. And I look back in childhood and I think about his presence. And it was almost like I was always like chasing his presence. Like, where is he? And then I would finally kind of like meet him down in the workshop. And then he would like almost like just go out, play outside, you know, and do that thing. And there's almost like this void space for the masculine for me in some ways. And I thought, you know, I originally thought like, well, I really missed out, right? But then I stumbled upon a lot of amazing teachers on my journey. And one of them was those people was John DeMartini. I don't know if you heard of him. So he's a world-renowned human behavior specialist, and he's just probably one of the, you know, more powerful like leading scientists. He's a polymath, and he studies the science of human potential. And so one of the things that I got to explore with him was this idea of this concept of loss and gain, and how there's really nothing that's lost or gained. And when I looked at like the father figures, the men in my life, and I stopped looking at like how my father wasn't there, and I started to see how all the men in my life were there for me, and they took the role in the seat of my father. I got to see how many incredible men were really there for me and got to teach me in different ways, and how my perception of a void of a father, you know, on some degree, it's not that my father wasn't there. I got to give him some credit. Like he's been there through the years, just, you know, but perception's a powerful thing, right? How we end up perceiving our reality sculpts so much of it. And so I got to see that the perceived void of my father really drove me to seek out powerful masculine teachers. And John was one of those people. And yeah, I just got to see that the blank slate that I originally felt was an empty slate gave me permission to really just design and sort of get to fill in all the ways that I want to become a man and feel my masculine presence and really step more into that. Beautiful. That's a starting place for us. I mean, there's many things. I mean, it led me eventually to more conscious men's work and spending more time with brothers and, you know, diving into the different facets of, you know, what it means to be a healthy masculine.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful that you were able to recognize that there was this gap. And that, you know, and you were able to have the awareness, because it really does start with that awareness, to then go and seek and look to consciously, you know, fill it with what was perceived to be missing, which, you know, then created a whole new framework for you. And so I'm just curious, like, how old were you when you had that awareness, and how did that lead you into men's work, and how has men's work been shaping you? What is men's work?
Yeah, we could start there. I mean, I think, you know, this is a discussion I had on Men's Circle last night. What is men's work really for? Why do we sit in circle together? And it's not really for the circle itself. It's for how we come back into our lives and how, like, what energy and who we get to be and what it is that we bring to our family, our relationships, and to those relationships at large in our business and in the world. So the men's circles really, I think, serve as the space to be really becoming more comfortable with being vulnerable, right? And seeing that as a strength where, you know, there's a lot of moments where I think I personally feel like I've had to hold myself like all together. And doing some of this men's work has allowed me to see that, okay, like the more that I'm holding it together is actually keeping me weak. And watching and witnessing so many men step up to share some of the struggles and the things that they're going through and actually really being honest and raw and vulnerable and just being like, wow, like my life's been fucking hard. It's been tough. I'm going through this. And you start to hear some of these men's stories and these guys open up and it just feels so powerful. It's this powerful potency that you get to experience that I've experienced witnessing other men open up and then getting to sort of just receive like a kind of thawing out of my own like story that I've got to be perfect or I've got to be this guy that doesn't ever let his guard down. And so then, yeah, I mean, beginning to open up and share some of the harder challenges in my own life has allowed me to just, you know, melt a little bit more and soften, bring a lot of the like the denser, like heady mental energy and drop that into the heart and really build a stronger connection to the heart space.
So beautiful. And I feel that that's such a key piece in the masculine leadership too, is that head and heart coherency and, you know, that being in touch with your inner feminine. And I know that, you know, you're really into masculine and feminine energetics too. And that's a really key piece, is like men haven't been taught how to be in their heart and how to feel and how to not be so cerebral, which creates that dissonance and that lack of presence, which is so tangible to a child and to the feminine in their lives, to anyone really, right? We're all craving the presence of the masculine in some way. And so I would love to hear how being in men's work has allowed you to be more present and how that's been impacting or affecting your relationships and the way that you're showing up in relationship and in business.
Yeah, it's been like a really beautiful journey meeting my current partner in love, Lauren. She's, you know, such a beloved soul, beautiful woman. And
she's great.
It's been challenging also, you know, like these sacred unions bring up so much energy, right? And there's all like, it's like we're both, our energies are meeting and there's like so much getting stirred underneath the surface that gets to be brought up. And in terms of my role within that, what I'm learning and exploring right now is how to more subtly attune to the voice that's underneath the surface. Because she may be describing and sharing something to me very explicitly. And I can take those words and be like, okay, well, that's what she means, right? But there's this dual ear that can be opened up within a man's faculty to listen a little bit more deeply to the subtle undertones of what's really going on and the story of the body, the story of the energy, the frequency and the tone and the emotions behind the words. I mean, that's can be part of it as well. So I think being able to be in a men's circle and just allow a lot of my process to be held within the group of men allows me to be so much more present and available for her in that attunement process, because I'm not carrying the weight of the world on my shoulder and entering into this conversation or this activity or whatever it is with her. Yeah, there's still going to be more things, but I can at least let a lot of that come out within those circles. And then, you know, I think being able to really come into a space together where we can cherish one another, where there's a deep honoring of each other's presence, and there's more of an appreciation, there's more of a celebration and a reverence and a clear space energetically within my body and my system to not only see her as this person, as in her body and her emotions and her mental field, but also in her soul field. And then also even beyond that soul field, into recognizing her as God, like as her, as the divine, and getting to meet that divine energy through her and through myself and experience that and bring in a spiritual practice to the relationship that goes much more beyond this kind of, you know, maybe surface level we could call it, but just even just an interpersonal dynamic, there can be actually a way to merge spiritual practice in the relationship. So that's not always something that we're diving into in men's work, but getting to kind of just like let myself live and breathe into my experiences that get to be shared with these other men allows me to have a lot more spaciousness to be able to attune with her a lot more subtly and be more present with her, to be able to be more in tune with how I can actually provide her, you know, with what she may be needing, even beyond what she thinks she needs. And then there's, of course, the other, you know, we're kind of jumping into like the four P's of how I see these gifts of the masculine, which is the presence, the provision, the protection, and the penetration. And so I've talked about provision, and then I've talked about presence. So protection is, you know, I think, you know, something that is a little more naturally inherently there, right? Like there's a sense of I'm here, I'm going to protect you, right? Penetration is an interesting one because typically we're going to like roll right into the thought that that happens only in sex. And what I'm opening to now is really seeing that I'm always penetrating her. My field, like my penetration, my cock, like, you know, that's something that's always out in a way. And that is my awareness. So yeah. How am I handling that awareness? How am I actually penetrating her? Is she in a place where she's not ready for that? Or maybe she is, or she wants some of that, but she's got all this stuff going on in her business, in her world, in her life. And I can actually pull my awareness away from her a little bit, or bring my awareness up above my head and allow her to feel a sense of spaciousness, that even play with using my awareness to bring it into a place behind my back, where when I enter her field, you know, in a very close sense, it's not like she's feeling me like just come into her energy. And then there's a time for that, right? But there's also that piece of like her being a woman in her mature self, but then also the little girl in there that may not have developed the pieces that need to be developed for her to really trust that me coming into her space is safe and that she can actually receive me.
Wow, beautiful. That's a powerful practice. So you literally can you feel your consciousness shift behind you so that it's not so penetrative in her field, and you can kind of gauge that through this practice that you've been speaking into with attunement, where you're attuning to her energy as you enter the same space as her.
Yeah, I mean, this is something really fresh and new for me. I mean, I can't say I've like developed a mastery with this. This is really something that I'm practicing. And I think this space of mastery really is always this beginner's mind, right? Like where there's a curiosity to always be open to what we don't know. But no, I mean, I think it's probably worth sharing that for any of those listeners and men out there, they're like, whoa, you know, how do I get there? Well, I definitely was not in that place for many years. And it's been, you know, I think many series of initiations to understand how much I wasn't doing that and the kind of messiness that it was. And I've been married one time and we were together for about almost 7 years, almost a quarter Saturn cycle there. And it was messy. I mean, I was spilling a lot of my energy over to her. I was expecting things from her. I was bringing my work. I didn't have a men's circle at that point. I maybe had friends and I was doing some plant medicine at the time. I had a community that I was orienting around and we were all sharing space together. But, you know, there's something interesting that I think happens in a relationship where it's like the person that you're closest with, it's like they're, because there's such a trust there that's developed, there's also this sense of safety that I can just let myself go. Like you're going to be there. So then like, you know, it's almost like we're always testing each other with like what we can get away with in a way. And I think that at that time, I was not aware that for each of us that my face sometimes takes on the face of her father or her mother or other men in her life that have triggered her or invaded her space, and vice versa, that sometimes she was taking on the face of aspects of my mother that were difficult for me, right? And it's, I think there's just this kind of like wild interplay in which we're with each other, but we're also standing in the room with all of our ancestors. So I try to remind that Lauren and I remind that to each other sometimes. It's like, we're like, oh, you know, we take a breath back and we step back. We're like, wow, like, okay, well, like we're not, it's not just you and me here. Like all of the family and the ancestral lines are here. And so there is, you know, getting to kind of play with that awareness is fun because you realize, like, at least I've realized that for one, yeah, that can be intimidating and intense to feel all the negative patterns that I'm also up against when I just want to feel my baby and like squeeze her and like get to her essence and like feel like that juiciness. And then I'm like fighting with the ancestors from, you know, far, who knows how far down the line it goes. And then there's that. And then it's almost like we shake ourselves off and it's like, oh my God, that wasn't even me. Like what happened there? Right. So it's important, I think, to remember that that's actually occurring, that, that when that happens, the more that that I'm learning to just take a big breath back in my space and just like create more of a gap between the moment where there is a trigger, or there's a potential reactive or repressive shadow experience that could happen, that we can just widen the gap a little bit and like slow down, take a breath, like recognize what's really here. And in some ways, like allow things to kind of just naturally distill themselves. I think, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent right now, but there's a powerful idea Richard Rudd talked about around this natural, universal, transformative process in which it always starts with dissonance. And so there is like some kind of like dissonant energy that's here. And you could also refer to that as like the base substance of alchemy, right? It's just pure chaos. Like there's some kind of chaotic like energy that's here that has maybe like a feeling around it. And if something happens, right, there's a little stone that gets thrown into the lake, that then there's ways in which that dissonance can be amplified and the ripples go out. And I think as the ripples are going out, that's oftentimes where there's a tendency to want to give feedback too soon. And so what I've been learning is that it's actually really good to just take more space and watch the ripple happen. It's like, oh, whew, like, and you just, you know, like dropping into some of the feeling space and then allowing the ripple to go out and be felt, but not try to understand it right away.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to feel it when we're in such close proximity with that person that we're like quantumly entangled with, that we care so much about, that like the ripple happened with in the first place. And I love to say we experience rupture to recapture the rapture of remembrance. So it's like,
beautiful.
We have this piece come up and on this journey, especially in an evolutionary partnership, it's like, I love everything you just spoke into, because it's like, yeah, there are all these other pieces in the room. And sometimes I just want to feel my person. And like, we also, you know, the only way to the other side is through whatever is presenting itself. And I think a lot of the times we forget in relationship that it all starts with the relationship with self and having that foundational piece. So like you just spoke into the space to go be with self, to feel like, okay, what is my frame here? What is coming up for me here? Because sometimes it just can't be processed in the same space as your partner when it comes up. So there's a maturity. There's a maturity in being able to recognize that the pattern's coming up or that another piece is playing out, and to speak into it together, or to be able to like close the eyes and just like drop into self and feel like, what is it that I need in this moment to regulate? You know, and there's the co-regulation and then the self-regulation, but being able to take space to go regulate, to come back and have the energy dissipated is such an underrated power play in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy when that pattern comes up to just almost like be swallowed by it. And then you're like looping and processing, but there's no real coming to equilibrium or finding solution. You know, and I feel that if we are solution oriented, or we can hold that frame of like, even though you're triggering the fuck out of me right now, like, or this is activating something so deep and like ancestral in me. One of my favorite quotes is, if you become hysterical, it's historical. So like noticing, oh, I'm becoming hysterical right now. Like, yeah, this is deep. And this might even be beyond me, like generationally. So how can I, you know, recognize that instead of thinking that my relationship's in peril, right? Because sometimes, you know, and this is something that I've been reflecting on, it's like if there's a fear of confrontation, or if there's been this dysfunction in childhood, or this abandonment from, you know, a parent or something, it's really easy to go into this space if there's dissonance or if there's like confrontation to be like, oh my gosh, is this over? Like, oh my gosh, is this a bit, you know, and there's all these fears, like very visceral, almost like survival fears that will start to come up. I mean, it all comes back to that self-love, right? And knowing that you're not abandoning yourself in this process. And every time you can tune in and really take the pulse in what will be most nourishing for your nervous system in a moment where that chaos comes up, right? And then also knowing that your partner is really there, which comes back to the trust piece, which is everything in relationship. And so knowing, okay, trusting that we can come back from this, we can come and talk about this later. If we take that space right now as this dissonance coming up, it doesn't mean one of us is opting out. It just means that we are taking a breath so that we can come back and like synergize again.
So spot on. Yeah. I mean, it is that inner parenting process that's there. I think we can play the mother and father for one another in an intimate relationship, and we can be the spiritual, like I could be the spiritual father for Lauren's little girl, and she could be the spiritual mother for my little boy. Right. And we don't necessarily need to do that as much when we can each individually turn those spiritual father, mother templates on within ourselves. And just give the inner child a lot of the stuff that it just didn't get, you know, he or she didn't get. I think that's a big part of this whole journey and the work with a healthy masculine, feminine dynamic and keeping the polarity right is just seeing the ways in which our inner feminine and masculine relate to one another.
Yeah.
You know, like what, absolutely. How am I being in my awareness? How am I being in my energy? Am I honoring my emotions and my energy and how I'm feeling and like working with the feminine side and how am I honoring what I'm aware of and what I'm perceiving as true? And is that really true? Right. What's my relationship to that? And am I jumping to conclusions or am I trying to force something to happen? Or am I able to just be in a little bit more of a space of allowing things to emerge and be seen because I'm present?
Yes, that awareness and curiosity is so powerful. And I feel like that's the sign of truly evolving in your relational space and capacity, which brings me to the question of what really stokes your masculine leadership. I hear a lot of women express that in relationship, they want to feel their man, like being able to lead and take charge and feeling like they can trust surrendering into his leadership and his provision. So I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, there's a number of things in there. I love that. Well, I could start with what stokes my masculine leadership. I mean, I think it's changing and it's ever evolving. You know, I think like what stands out to me is this idea of just listening, you know, because with any leader, if, like when I feel into the king archetype, it's, you know, it has sort of like an integration of the other ones, right? Like, you know, if I name a few, we would say there's the warrior, there's the magician, there's the lover, right? But within the king, there's this like kind of attunement to truth. And it's a truth that's encompassing the whole. So there's an ancient Taoist concept called the mandate of heaven. And when
what
I think about the king, I think about this mandate of heaven. And the mandate of heaven is that there's a divine order in which we can attune to, and we can like pull down, we can have this, like the mandate or the order of the heavens coming through us as a conduit through men, women, like, you know, leaders, someone who's attuning to that. And then basically support the whole through that attunement or the sharing of that, of those ordering principles, where the shadow piece of that king can be like, you know, taking that sense of provision and providing the order or the instructions for a group or for other people as one's own order, right? Like, well, I get to decide this, like it's my role. I'm the king, right? Like that's a little, we're like stepping a little bit into like the tyrant side of things, where like, I think the healthy, virtuous expression of the king is really looking at like, what does everybody else need? And that does include me also. You know, if I was a king in a kingdom and just only doing everything for everybody else and not honoring myself, then I wouldn't be able to really hold that much, right? I mean, it just goes into sort of a simple idea of fill your cup before you allow it to overflow and spill into the hands of other people. So I think leadership has a lot to do with listening. And I think like when it comes to like receiving that mandate of heaven in my own life, I really do listen deeply to not just myself, but other people and I mean, with most of my clients, I mean, maybe 75% of what I'm actually doing is listening. And so if anybody talks to me, I'm just like sitting there and really taking in their experience and really being with that and feeling that and getting to, in some ways, embody that and be present with that to know, you know, how I might be able to best serve. But there's also, I think, a deeper layer within leadership for a man or woman tapped into like the masculine side. Because when I think about the masculine leadership, I really think about pure awareness. And so within awareness, it's a kind of listening that's not just like listening to sounds, right? It's like Hermes' third ear, where like we have this third eye that we see intuitively. It's similar. It's in some ways pointing to the intuitive faculty, you know, and being able to then use our awareness and use my awareness to see what I need to see. And really that's coming from a deeper connection to my higher self. So sometimes what's required there is to hold a simultaneous awareness that I have a higher self and I have a lower self. And my higher self is really like my soul speaking. I mean, there's a little bit of there's a distinction there between soul and higher self that I think is important, but I'm really listening to my deeper soul self. And then my lower self is really like my human, like fear level physiology. So both are important. But if I'm only listening to one and I override all the feelings and the fear, then I'm not really doing all the listening I can do, because sometimes my fear is really relevant. And if I'm not paying attention to the fear in my body, then I'm not going to be able to listen to the fear of other people.
Right. Beautiful. It's that, yeah, that rigorous honesty, and that takes courage and discipline or bliscipline, right?
Bliscipline, yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious, like, how do you have a morning practice, or, you know, for the men listening that want to be in that space of, you know, being, I love that, the mandate to heaven. Is that
mandate of heaven? Yeah.
Mandate of heaven. And to be that conduit, to be that channel, especially, you know, in our world today, to be, you know, someone who's willing to offer that and be in that energy of the king, you know, for the people. What are some practices that help you really listen and attune to that inner gnosis, to that, you know, to what is wanting to come through for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also important to highlight the feminine side too, right? Because like I think about like ladies first, right? And the chivalry that sometimes lost in today's world. Mm-hmm. But it applies within the inner world too, you know, like a lot of the breath work that I do starts with the left nostril. And so there's something of just paying homage to the omega or the feminine energy, and then allowing the alpha to follow that, the alpha or the masculine. So I really believe that the omega does actually lead, and then the alpha follows that. So within my own system, I'm also feeling how I'm feeling, and it's I'm not necessarily perfect at this, right? But it's, you know, it's a practice where I'm playing with the frequency that I'm sort of swimming in, and then following, like, okay, well, from this place of feeling, is this where I want to move from? And if not, then what might I need to see or listen to from that space? So some of the practices, and it's not always that I'm waking up at the same time every day and like working on these things as I used to be. But I find that today I'm using things a little bit more medicinally. So as I need it, I'll just basically take some time to really do a quick body scan. And on the simplest level, I think that can be really effective. It's just, you know, we're energy beings and we have energy fields. And if something's off with me and I'm not really moving from a place where I'm like, you know, feeling whole, or I'm a little agitated, or there's a, you know, I'm carrying a charge of energy, then likely there's some area in my body within my chakras that needs some attention. So, you know, just kind of using a little conceptual framework to be able to pinpoint that. I mean, you could think about it. I could think, whoa, well, I'm angry, so maybe there's something around boundaries and truth, and that's a third chakra thing, right? But I could also just feel into my anger and ask, where do I feel that? And maybe I really do feel it in my liver. I'm like feeling it in my actual organ. You know, the way that the Chinese medicine theory associates organs with emotions. You can play with that a little bit. And sometimes I really will do that. And I'll choose different foods that are going to support that, you know, that energy. Like if I'm going through a lot of irritation or anger, and I know that that's an energy present in my life, then it's probably a good idea to actually support my system with foods that are going to help my liver or work with my gallbladder to kind of help that. And there's a lot of different herbal remedies that go along with that as well. But I think like in a very simple level, breath work is one of those things. Like I've fallen off a little bit in terms of my daily practice, but what I really love to do is just take a very simple, exhale out the nose and then hold that exhale at the bottom for about 5 seconds. And then do a very slow inhale through the nostrils and just be able to breathe in about 10 seconds and then just let everything go again and repeat that. And it's a very simple technique. It's called Boteco. It comes from Boteco breathwork, and it's just a way to build up your body and your blood's ability to hold more oxygen in the bloodstream, because there's a sort of idea and a philosophy that we take too many breaths. And this kind of goes into the yogic traditions as well, where, you know, if we're mouth breathers and we're breathing through our mouth all the time, or, you know, we're like kind of just, you know,
shallow
in some ways hyperventilating or shallow breathing, then a good question to ask is like, how can we actually elongate our breath? And there's a simple rule of thumb that a healthy breath, at least within this methodology, is about 6 breaths per minute. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of play with that and do a check-in like throughout the day, you know, like where's my breath? And sometimes I'm breathing really, really fast, you know, and mm-hmm. I need to slow down a little bit. And I think the more that I'll play with that elongated inhale and then holding my breath a little bit, it feels at first that you're depriving your body from oxygen, but as you work into it, you actually can take less breaths with each breath holding more oxygen.
Amazing.
And it's just a really beautiful way to link up your mind and body, your mind and your heart, and develop a little more coherence and become present in life and the world, and especially hectic moments. It can be really powerful.
Totally. And also, you know, that I feel that that's such a beautiful masculine practice, like that meditation, that connection to your breath, like that creating that depth of presence in your body. And that's what allows, you know, at least for me, it allows the feminine to feel safe around like a grounded, present masculine being who you can feel is like dropped into the core. And something that, I had two friends over the other day, and they were talking about breath and how the inhale, you know, is what happens when we're born, and then the exhale is what happens when we die. And that in every moment we're rebirthing, we're dying and rebirthing through our breath, which makes sense why the quality of breath would be so important. But then that also just made me think while you were speaking is, you know, according to David Data's teachings and John Wineland, they talk about how the feminine is the ever-changing consciousness and that which animates all of life, whereas the masculine is that which never changes and is kind of holding this space and this pillar almost like a rock. And so it just made me think that even in the breath, like the breathing in is very feminine. You're breathing in this life force, and the breathing out is that masculine, like deepening in presence. And so I can see how that also interplays with it all.
Absolutely. I think that sometimes it feels like we need to like go and like be a man and show up and like develop this, you know, the pieces of the masculine. And I think there's a really, I mean, we need both, right? We can't just, you know, both exist within us. And there was a time where I did kind of think that, well, part of my like being a healthy man is learning to be in my feminine. And I started to see that that's not necessarily the case. Like we don't, I think a lot of men don't necessarily need like more feminine. They need to strengthen the masculine qualities while also honoring that feminine. within themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the there's a lot of fear around the masculine potentials, I think, right now. I think a little bit of a backlash, you know, like from just the way that the unhealthy patriarchal aspects of our world have been shaping and molding our roles within the household and family and our professions. I mean, I think there's a lot of reason that, you know, it's like, yeah, why there's a lot of reason why there might be fear around the masculine. And I think that it's partially that it's just the shape and the quality of the masculine that's been out of balance. And I think, you know, we're entering into a world, I mean, Richard Rudd talks about this, it's a little prophetical, but, you know, we're entering a time where there's going to be a lot more of the feminine emerging as a power. And I think just being able to recognize that, like I had this conversation today with a brother and we were just talking about, you know, there's so many ways to look at men's work. And, for example, you know, this one man had basically people come to a place and get punched in the face. And his whole idea was, well, you know, when you get punched in the face, you know yourself, right? And so that's one way to know yourself, but do we really want to be...
Because of how you respond to it? Or wait.
I don't know the full details of it, but I mean, I like this man I was talking with today, you know, I like his philosophy around men's work because he's just widening into the idea that, yeah, we do need to strengthen masculine, but there's a definite need for all the feminine side too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And moving away from violence and a little bit more into what's, you know, maybe in our higher frequency evolutionary potential, I think is important to consider.
And what do you feel that is? Like if in, you know, in a nutshell to wrap it up, like what does healthy masculine leadership with the integrated feminine look like in this new earth paradigm, in what we are here to steward now? Mm.
Such good questions here. Yeah, I think what's coming to me is really just there's a microcosm within my relationship now that points to this as a teaching. And it's really simply that, we both, you know, we could on either side of the masculine, feminine, or being a man, being a woman, like however you want to look at it, it's a different perspective, right? One to the other. And I think we just need to listen to what that perspective is. And listen to what that is within ourselves and listen to that within each other and then be able to move from that place. I don't think it's really that much more complicated than that. I think I'd rather leave it on a simple note that it can be that simple. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's the answer to everything, but I think we can at least start there with being able to learn how to listen to that within ourselves, because I think there's a long time where I've personally lived where I wasn't in tune with that. Right. And then I look at the actions and behaviors and the ways that I was being, and I was overriding a lot of those voices. And I look back in retrospect, you know, it's always 2020 in hindsight. Right. But if I was listening, then I think I would have been able to move from a different place, maybe a little bit more grounded, maybe a place where I could provide a little bit more of a virtuous, wise approach to my life where there's more valor. There's that like noble pursuit of wisdom that emerges from this place that like life's uncertain, right? We don't necessarily, I mean, when I look at like the face of all that there is to know, there is infinite things to know. And so if I just remember how important it is to not know and be present and embrace the uncertainty and just listen to what's there and listen to the unknown, then I think all the answers are really there. There's this whole well, all the answers are in that well.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That well to me is like, it's like the womb of the goddess, you know, the mystery, the intangible. And so for the masculine to be able to like sit in that and feel that and bring it through, you know, and then to show up in relationship and business in that way, like tapped into the unseen, tapped into almost like his oracular nature, right? Which is also a very divinely feminine quality, to be able to weave that into all that you're bringing to this tangible realm is like so potent, and to let that inform your way of being and doing. And I'm also curious, this just came through too, is like how is it that, you know, you with the feminine, like what feminine qualities really help you to feel that way, or to like feel inspired in your mission, or to connect with the mystery, or to be in that more masculine leadership? What are those things that really stoke your masculine fire within the relation you're relating to the feminine?
Yeah. I mean, it yeah, this is where it gets kind of fun. Cause I mean, that's like, what is all that masculine gifting for? Is like to receive also the gift of the feminine. And yeah, I mean, it's the, I mean, absolutely the radiance of the feminine, you know, getting to sip in the sunshine of the feminine energy is like, I mean, what's better than that? I mean, that's just such a joy. So I think like when I think about my approach to my partner now, the more that I can be in my healthy masculine giving, the more that I get to receive the gift of her radiance. And there's
she's
a beauty.
She's so radiant.
She's super radiant. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's three more gifts of the feminine as well that are worth mentioning. There's reflection, ravenous, and receptivity. And I think, I mean, of course, like the ravenousness of the feminine is also amazing too, just to get to like enjoy and be in all the sensory pleasure of not just, you know, a woman's body, but life itself, and the way that I'm feeling my feet on the ground, or that the sunshine itself is coming into my field. But I mean, it's so nice to feel the receptivity, you know, particularly given that, I mean, there's a natural orientation to like provide or give for the masculine. And when that's received, it's like, I think there's something that just is so innate within a man that's like, if I'm providing and that's received, like I'm good. Like I can just go to sleep and enjoy my life. Like I know that I'm good, and that I'm experiencing fulfillment. Mm. So I think, you know, it's a combination of those things. I mean, I think the reflective side is also important. Like you mentioned the piece about the oracular nature of the divine feminine, and how, you know, there's something about like being a man and wanting to be chiseled by the iron of other men in my life. And then sometimes a woman will just offer me something. It's just so potent, right? And it's a reflection of me. And so there's an element, I think, that the feminine's able to give that potent reflection, not necessarily in words, you know. And I think that's where more of like the dance and the art comes from for me. Like when I feel like I'm, you know, there's endless to master in that area, right? But where I think things can go a little wrong, and I think it's gone wrong in my world a little bit, just given that where I was, I mean, it's okay. Everything is perfect, right? But there's an element of like, you know, she's not da da da, or she's doing da da da, right? That can get kind of in the way of all this beauty that we get to enjoy with one another. And so I'm reminded, and I try to remind myself as much as I can, that my partner and women and the feminine is always reflecting the clarity that I'm holding within my masculine world. And that's oftentimes very subtle, you know, and it can be just the way that Lauren, for example, walks into the room and feels me and where I'm at. It's already being reflected to me.
Right.
And I could say, well, what's going on with her, right? But if I just tune myself a little bit back and get to see, whoa, like, where am I at right now?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that goes both ways as well. It's like, you know, ownership of, okay, we're sourcing it all, we're co-sourcing it all. And it's easy to start to point the finger and blame. But when you can have that awareness to like, okay, where is my energy right now? and how are we kind of sourcing this in each other? But then, you know, the piece that you spoke into about that receptivity and being able to receive even just your leadership or your guidance or like you choosing, you know, where to eat or what to do and like to be able to trust that. There are moments where in my relationship with Teddy, I'll notice like he can really feel when I'm not trusting him, and I can feel where like it's almost painful. It like hurts him when I don't trust him. And so, you know, it's this constant practice of like where I notice myself getting defensive or resisting him and like wanting to do it myself, or like, you know, feeling wherever those wounds of the distrust of the masculine may just be coming up and I'm not even super conscious of it. But then to drop in and go, okay, I trust you. And I notice like the more I trust him and the more he shows up in a way that's trustworthy. And the more he can feel my trust, the more he can rise into his leadership. And I do also believe that, you know, the feminine's energy is leading in the relationship. As David Data says, she's like the weather and he's like the captain of the ship. But like without the weather, he doesn't really know where to go. So the art of the feminine too. And to, for those of you women listening, the art of the feminine radiance really is being in touch with your sensational awareness and your body. This is why dancing in the arts is so beautiful, to reestablish that radiance or to stay connected with it. It's like your through line to being connected to your divine feminine. And then in that, you naturally start to come into a more receptive space. And the masculine can feel when we're in that receptive space, right? You can feel when she's in that radiance and that receptivity, and it inspires, it almost evokes, like you were speaking into, that leadership and that desire to provide and give, because you can feel that you are pouring into something that can receive it, like a chalice, right? And then going into that chivalry piece that it's for a lot of women, it's so beautiful to feel the masculine want to be in that space of providership. But even just something so simple as like opening the door for the feminine is like, oh, opening the door, pulling out the chair. I worked at a restaurant and I remember I would just watch the human behavior and the way that men and women were interacting. And there was such a palpable difference between the men who like acted like they were too cool to care about the woman, right? And it's like almost playing off of this wound in the woman of like being with the unavailable man or the man who doesn't really show up. Of course, that goes deeper into childhood stuff and all these different pieces. But then the women who were like, really, I could feel them in their deep feminine and like in their almost like the queen archetype and like the masculine being in the king, honoring his woman and like pulling out her chair or like doing these things where he showed he cared and he was offering this was his offering, his transmission, showing that he loves his woman. He cares about his woman. He's protecting, he's providing. And there was just such a difference in the texture of masculine I would see that would have that extra awareness and attentiveness, right? And almost like this humility piece. And the men who just like, there was no awareness at all.
Yeah, there's been a kind of fun thing we've been playing with Lauren and I about opening the car door. You know, like when she gets in the car, like I'm over there. And like, if I forget, she just, she's like over there, like waiting, right? A little bit. So there's a play there where it's like, not like, oh, he forgot, but like, hey, like we're both learning to come back to this place where we both honor each other's king and queen and play with that. And it does matter, right? Like closing that door when she's in the car and she's sat in there and I walk around feels so good.
And it really does something for the feminine. You know, I'm used to that because growing up, my dad paid for everything, like just naturally. That was how he was when he met my stepmom. He was like, he just took care of things. So that was my template for masculine. Although it's not like the general framework, there was just something I noticed in her when they came together. It was like she was so taken care of. And then he opens the doors, and that's just how my dad is, you know. And so when I, like the men that I've been with who have naturally wanted to be that way or like open the door, there's like this sense of like that little girl we were speaking to earlier. It's like, oh wow, he's really like taking care of me. He really is paying attention, you know. And there's like this exhale, like this deep exhale that that the feminine can kind of surrender into. It's like there's something that's stoked that charges the arc of polarity when the man's doing these little things, because a lot of women have been hyper-masculinized and have seen, like, for example, their mother is taking care of everything and doing everything. And I did see that with my mother because my parents weren't together. So she did hold the masculine and feminine in her dynamic. So it was a lot of contrast in the way I would see all these different energetics play out. But in my own experience and talking to, you know, women who have had that, it's like, yeah, it's this deep safety, this deep trust. And then it allows her to soften and unfold in these ways that are so beautiful and that actually nourish the masculine's nervous system in a lot of ways. And then he's entrusted with even more of her heart and her trust, right? And so it's this beautiful dance. And I think a lot of men are learning, you know, these little things that are actually super profound, like opening the door. It does take time. Teddy, when him and I got together, it was like none of that was on his radar. And it took time for me to be like, hey, this is something that's really attractive to me. This is something that helps me feel safe. And I don't want to enforce gender, you know, norms or say, you know, say that this is the way it has to be. And I'm going to express that this is something that feels so good to my feminine. Or like something as simple as buying me a rose, you know, or roses every once in a while. Like it does something to me that is, you know, it shows that you are, it's like an honor of the femininity. And when we were in Mexico a little bit ago, I noticed that he wanted to do it, but it was also a little uncomfortable for him to buy me these roses from this man on the street, you know, because we're also best friends. So it's this dynamic of being romantic, polarized union and also like best friends. And so this moment was an opportunity and I could feel him, like the part of him that wants to be in that energy and then the part of him that's like a little nervous about the vulnerability of it. And he bought me the roses. And we talked about it in real time. I think that's important for couples to do too, is like, hey, babe, how did that feel for you? And he was like, you know, it's a little vulnerable. And I'm like, thank you for sharing that with me. Because then in my mind, I'm not like, oh, he's an asshole who doesn't care. He's showing me his heart and sharing with me, like, that was vulnerable. You know, intimacy can be vulnerable. And I'm like, even just that is creating more intimacy, right? And allowing me to see him in the process instead of just categorizing him or creating a story. And then we were out the other day, or maybe like a month ago, and some guy comes and shoves roses in our face. And I didn't even think about it. And without even skipping a beat, he was just like, of his own accord, he just bought me the roses. And I could feel how good it felt to him. And it felt so good to receive him in that natural transmission from, you know, our ability to express. That's such a beauty in devotional union, is there are infinite layers and there's no rush. And if we're continually communicating where we're at and tuning in with each other, then we're continually becoming each other's dream person, kind of organically.
Yeah, I love, I think this is so beautiful. I love your story and like the vulnerability and just on both sides, right? Of just being able to be honest of like, hey, this is like a thing. And I think the territory is like really in the small things. And it can be like, we could put any wrap a context around a small thing. But I think given any context that's there, it comes back to like, what is this energy for you, for us, right? And there's an infinite, like the masculine and feminine are meant for each other. It's like they are complementary, and the gifting of one is the receiving and gifting of other, and the giving and the receiving are the same. So when there's that open, infinite loop, it's like there's such a constant replenishment of life force energy, where one person's holding the power, and then the other person is like, all right, baby, like you got that power. Like, doesn't mean that I have less. It's just we're both a team, and then you're stepping up to hold the microphone for a second. Yes. And then maybe you step down and then the other one does that too. And as soon as like we get that reversed, where it's called the Eden loop, where it's like our mental and emotional like shadow sides begin to program each other in the other way, that can become like normalized, right? Where then it's like, oh yeah, well you do this and then I do that, and then now we're like both triggering each other, and it's like this infinite thread of trigger. And I think if we can just remember that, like the health is in that replenishing infinite loop, And if that's off, it's like, hey, let's talk about that.
Right. Coming back to that, you know? Middle point. That's actually why I got this tattoo. That's the only tattoo I have on my left wrist, as the reminder to come back to the heart, but also of what we're going through collectively, this balance of masculine and feminine, spirit and matter, you know, these poles, but then also in union. I love that you just use that for partnership, just like that infinity loop, because there are times where one's in the power and the other's not. And to remember, oh, we're a team, we're feeding each other. This is a union, and we're rippling that out. That's the medicine. So yay.
Yeah.
Oh, Kenan, this has been amazing. I would love for you to let the audience know where they can find you, what kind of work you offer, if you have anything coming up. You have a podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've got a number of offers, and if anybody wants to take a look, I'm actually just finalizing a page where I'm going to be updating everything regarding all my offers. But you can reach me at KenanWhite.com. I'm sure we'll leave something in the show notes around that. And yeah, what I've been up to is really just, I love helping people who want to really like clarify and align with purpose, in a sense of like, this is the thing that's like vitally lighting me up and I want to build my life around it. So anybody who's really feeling that, maybe there's, you know, a sense of like, I feel stuck in this like corporate position or a job I don't like. And I really love helping people develop, not even develop. Well, there's a development of skills that goes along with that journey of awakening your own medicine and then sharing that to the world in your own unique and revolutionary ways. But there's also just like, there's an innate gift that I think we all have based on our wounding, you know, and there's this like key that is there for us all. Like we all have some unique medicine to offer. So I love helping people get in touch with that and building a business around that. So you can always reach out to me about that. And I love doing just a multitude of coaching, helping people, you know, just be more happy in their bodies and live a life of greater fulfillment. I've been an astrologer and a body worker for the last 10 years. And so I interweave that work into pretty much all of the coaching that I do. My podcast is Luminous Possibilities, and we have conversations. I just interview and speak to other professionals, people who've chosen that path for themselves, and that they're carving out a life of, you know, basically like their own fulfillment on their own terms. And we just talk about how they're thriving and their inflow consciousness and, you know, what it took to get to that place. So if you are in that place where you feel like, well, how do I do that? How do I kind of leave this job? Like I've been there. I know it can be really scary. There's a lot of fear that goes into that, like really trusting yourself to be able to make a living doing that. But it's absolutely possible and lots of perspectives. And I'm always here for a call around that. Thank you so much, though. It's been a pleasure talking with you today about the amazing union.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on and sharing about masculine leadership relationship. Like these codes are so needed, and to hear it from a man who's devoted to the path and in a thriving union and, you know, in a thriving business and helping other people to thrive in what they're doing is just, it's such medicine. So thank you for coming on, and thank you to everyone who tuned in. Thank you for tuning in to the Better It Gets podcast. I hope that your day just got a little better after listening to this episode. And may anything that may be troubling you in your life right now, anything that maybe you haven't been able to see the light at the end of the tunnel with, just keep getting better and better. Until next time.